an amazing thing to think. WikiLeaks. This subject is was addressed in WikiLeaks, and of course the most of the attention, of course, went to the political. But it's again starting out the conversation at the beginning of the program, talking about with the WikiLeaks about Podesta Edgar Mitchell and about the evolution of the topic here. The topic evolved. Very interesting and very timely. Our guests are Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, and Derek Gilbert, who I had greatest opportunity to meet and to experience his lecture, along with Sharon Gilbert, his wife, at in Branson, Missouri, with Steve Quayle. So it was a fascinating time there. But this is a fascinating topic. Steve, I'm going to kick it to you to continue the train of thought of Derek Gilbert, yours and Derek Gilbert. So thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think one of the things that I address, I'm going to turn it right over to Derek, and this is kind of, where did the chaos come from? Because, again, there's an argument on Genesis 1, 1, 1, 2, and you can deal with this, Derek, if you want, or throw it back when you're through dealing with it, but how an ancient entity of chaos has influenced the world since the beginning of time. Because the beginning of time for us is Genesis in the Garden of Eden, but the point is, prior to that, and this is where a lot of the ancient architecture and the stuff that's not human size comes into play. So you want to take on the chaos. And by the way, I want to get to the killer question tonight that you can answer, whether we can know when these otherworldly beings will return, and that when they'll begin to, how should I say this, be welcomed openly as our saviors. Let's go with chaos first.
Well, you mentioned Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2, and of course in Genesis 2, we read that darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The word translated deep in Hebrew is the word tehom, which is a cognate, which means same word, different language, to an Akkadian word, temtum, which was their name for the Sumerian chaos dragon, which was represented by the sea, the chaos dragon Tiamat. Now, there is a common theme in ancient religion. The Sumerians, the Mesopotamians, the Akkadians, Babylonians, the Canaanites, the Greeks, the Egyptians, and, of course, in the Bible, all had a belief that their warrior god, or that a warrior god, had to defeat this chaos dragon. For the Sumerians, it was their god Enlil who defeated Tiamat, and then it was their war god Ninurta who defeated Tiamat. But then the Canaanites said, no, it was Baal, Hadad, the storm god, who defeated Tiamat. Well, then they as time went on, then it became Yam, the god of the sea, the god of the, and that's why I argue in The Great Inception, by the way, that the Red Sea parting took place in front of a place called Baal Zephon. Another story. But it was a consistent theme repeated over and over. And why? Because something like this actually happened. We get the story in the Bible. The Bible is very clear. Yahweh, basically, by the second verse of the Bible, has already defeated Tiamat, Tehom, Temtum, the chaos dragon, the chaos represented by the sea. Isaiah records how God crushed the heads of Leviathan, talked about defeating Rahab. Because it's a supernatural entity, even though it's been defeated, it is not yet dead. And there are those out there who still want chaos, want the return of this chaos monster, and are actively working for it. In fact, that was something that, again, turned up in this strange chain of belief that stretches from Helena Blavatsky through Aleister Crowley and his successor, Kenneth Grant, down to the present day. The chaos god went by different names in the ancient world, Tiamat to the Sumerians, Lotan, which is the Canaanite name for Leviathan in the Bible, Yam, the god of the sea, to the Greeks it was Typhon, to the Egyptians it was Set, the god of chaos. And so Aleister Crowley, when he turned over his Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO, to Kenneth Grant, who had been his personal secretary, Grant worked with the magical system Crowley had developed, but believed that by the 1950s, about 10 years after Crowley died, that he had detected, he said, a Set Sirius current in the magic. In other words, he believed he was hearing from an entity coming from the vicinity of the planet Sirius that was the god, the Egyptian god Set, this chaos god. So he transformed Crowley's OTO into what he called the Typhonian Order, or the Typhonian OTO, based on the Greek name for this chaos god, Typhon. He believed, Kenneth Grant, that this god Typhon was returning, that chaos was returning, and that we needed somehow to master a magical system in order to harness the forces of chaos, as humanity then would transform into its next spiritual incarnation as we graduated to the next level of evolution. I'm not quite sure what. I'm not an expert on the occult, but I think it's more than coincidental. And again, I'm not trying to demonize anybody, because maybe they don't even know that they're doing this, but the two efforts, the two organizations that are trying to make contact with extraterrestrial entities, the Center for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI and SETI, are both based on the Egyptian word SETI, that literally means man of Set, man of the chaos god. Now, again, maybe that's a coincidence, but I'm not a coincidence theorist. I tend to believe things happen for reasons. So Grant, again, with this Typhonian order and this belief that an extraterrestrial god of chaos is returning, that sounds a lot like the fiction of H.P. Lovecraft, the guy who invented the Call of Cthulhu and wrote or created the Necronomicon, which somehow appeared in the 1970s in New York City, this book of ancient evil spells that was supposedly part of the mythos created by the horror fiction author H.P. Lovecraft. But Lovecraft is a strange link in this chain between the theosophists who followed Blavatsky and the occultists and Satanists who followed Aleister Crowley, because Grant was convinced that H.P. Lovecraft and Aleister Crowley had been channeling or hearing from the same spirit, even though H.P. Lovecraft claimed that he was an atheist, a man of science. He didn't believe in the supernatural realm. He was more than happy to write horror fiction based on the existence of a supernatural realm and to draw on the writings of people like Helena Blavatsky and the Theosophists as inspiration for his horror fiction. Grant was convinced that, regardless of what Lovecraft thought, that he was being influenced by the spirit realm, and specifically the same spirits that influenced Aleister Crowley. The link to our modern ancient aliens believers is this. In the 1950s and 60s, the writings of Lovecraft, who died in 1937, had picked up a following in Europe, and specifically in France. And a couple of authors in France who had been publishing a magazine, a science fiction magazine called Planet, guys named Louis Pauls and Jacques Bergier, wrote a book in 1960 called Morning of the Magicians. And in 1963, this was translated into English under the title Dawn of Magic. And basically, they drew on everything that Lovecraft had written in his fiction to put forward the theory that extraterrestrials were our old gods, that ancient astronauts were our old gods responsible for creating the human race, and this is the theory of Zechariah Sitchin, not coincidentally, and that they were someday going to come back and visit us again. This book sold very well, and like anything else that's in the creative realm, whether it's a book or a movie or music, if something new sells, people will copy it. Well, in 1970, a hotel manager in Switzerland wrote a book based on the work of Pauls and Bergier, to the point that Pauls and Bergier threatened a lawsuit. And this book, written by this Swiss hotel manager, became the best-selling book of archaeology of all time, based on Pauls and Bergier, which was based on H.P. Lovecraft, who was inspired by the same spirit as Aleister Crowley. And that book was Chariots of the Gods by Eric Van Daniken.
Hey, Derek, that's really critical that people understand that, okay? Because, again, the thing is that what you're seeing here is everything in the world, you know, we're dealing with World War II and then forward to World War II, as even British intelligence was involved in the occult, so were right. the Nazis. And what was interesting is the combination of, let's just say, left-hand Nazis and right-hand Nazis and Satanists, they all seem to converge, and obviously after 1947, but what you're just saying there is absolutely critical, because when von Däniken wrote Chariot of the Gods, it was probably the most, most upsetting and most confrontational piece of or puzzle piece for ancient history that anybody had ever put forth, drawing from its predecessors.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, there's a direct link there when you go back through the work of the guys who, Powell and Bergier, who basically used Lovecraft as their inspiration. If Kenneth Grant, who was Aleister Crowley's personal secretary and successor, was correct that Lovecraft was inspired by the same spirit that had Crowley had been channeling, then you've got a direct connection between whatever it was that inspired Aleister Crowley to create Telema and his Book of the Law, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." And there's some even more bizarre connections, some very specific things that I go into in the book. Josh and I dug into this through the work of Peter Lavenda, who's a very respected researcher into the occult, and shows that there's some really weird coincidences between what Lovecraft wrote and what Crowley wrote 20 years earlier, that unless Lovecraft had been a student of Crowley, and there's no evidence that he was familiar with Crowley's work at all, it just is almost impossible to believe. So you've got this direct link, this spiritual link from the spirit right. behind Aleister Crowley, and the spirit, and this idea that our gods, the gods of the ancient world, were actually astronauts. Now, why would the enemy want to convince us that the gods of the ancient world, the pagan gods of the ancient world, weren't gods at all, but were just extraterrestrials? Well, again, because we're now in a scientific culture, we're more likely to believe in the magic of our iPhones than to believe that God can supernaturally heal, that supernaturally deliver people who are afflicted by drug addictions and addictions to alcohol and pornography and so forth. Our children are coming out of the crib with smartphones and tablets in their hands, and they see the technology. And of course, Hollywood is playing on this with all of these films that show what a wonderful thing it would be to be an enhanced human, like one of the X-Men. There's a whole line of fiction that's being published by Disney now, based on the idea of teen demigods. A special school like Hogwarts, this is like the next generation of Harry Potter, where you have the special school for wizards and witches. A new series based on the work of author Rick Riordan, aimed at teens and especially preteens, to show them how cool it would be if you were actually the son or daughter of one of the Greek gods or one of the Norse gods.
You brought up something too. I think that people have got to understand, in all of this stuff, in all of it, from day one of recorded intermingling between the occult or spirit forces and human beings, and again, look at the fallen angels drawn by the beauty of women, obviously to pervert the human race, but the whole Hollywood exposure, pun intended, of just the extremes between Satanism and all of the pedophilia and all of the, sexual this, sexual that, isn't it? It gets right back to the thing. Ritual sex magic and all of the satanic ritual abuse always has to interfere with that, and to break down the little child's will or the person's will. And isn't it fascinating that from Genesis 1, Genesis 6 forward, that we see the same thing? Isn't it fascinating, Derek? And this is something I was thinking about today. We're dealing with fallen angels having sex with earth women, and now we're dealing with people who are openly professing Satanism, trying to take the moral high ground in what they've done with children and with each other, and the whole, if you will, let's call it the pornification, okay? That's where pornification, and it's the word would simply mean this, is that the procreative capacity that God gave, created man initially to reproduce his image and likeness, meaning God's image and likeness, as you've explained, but to let us be, if you will, co-creators in that realm, you know, it's astonishing, because I can't say it the way the world says it, but the whole world truly is messed up in the sexual realm, and you cannot get away from ritual sex magic, even in Hollywood, whether it's Mansfield's death or Marilyn Monroe or going back before then. The fascination in Hollywood now, the perversion of children, the Disney, the let's just say this, less than four-star and four-stellar portrayals in the cartoons. And now what we see is we're seeing, if you will, the complete control of society by these very entities that have destroyed the worlds before them. That's my statement. So if people will embrace that which destroys them, they will not embrace he who will save them, forgive them, and give them power, literally power over all the power of the devil. The powers of the occult is, to me, inversely proportional to the degree that the church, those who call themselves Christians or believers in the God of Israel, in the Messiah Jesus, in the Savior of the world, they are not even appropriating the power that God promised them, yet the devil's crew has taken everything and anything to get power over the people that got it but won't use it. I don't know if that's a clear enough way to say it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Bible is clear. You know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when you look at the true nature of the confrontation that's taken place in the Bible, and this is the thing that blows my mind. I mean, you were there, you saw my presentation in Branson, and I've stumbled onto some stuff beyond that is even more mind-boggling regarding the pagan rituals of the ancient world. When you look at that confrontation, I mean, you're talking about a long war that involves angels and demons and wizards and warlocks and monsters and heroes and valiant soldiers performing mighty deeds. But in the spirit realm, some of the mightiest deeds are done in the prayer closet. That is our mightiest weapon in this war. And yet so many of us have, it's like this, that famous line that was used in the film The Usual Suspects: the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he didn't exist. That's what this ET gospel is about. The devil doesn't exist. The gods don't exist. We, our ancestors, were just too primitive to know what they were looking at when they saw a spacecraft. And now that you are advanced enough to understand, we are here to welcome you into the brotherhood, the galactic brotherhood, the great white brotherhood. The Ashtar Command is here to welcome you if you will just open your minds to us and allow us to guide you in your spiritual enlightenment. And this is where, like I say, the serious researchers in the UFO community are really having a problem, because you've got people who are preaching this, who are now working at the highest levels of the Mutual UFO Network, which is really disturbing. There's I don't want to name names, because, again, I don't want to demonize anybody, because we want all to come to Christ and be saved, but somebody who's preaching a gospel that she claims to be hearing from a 36,000-year-old warrior from Lemuria is on the advisory council for MUFON, and the serious researchers are really having a problem with this.
Well, sure. It's just like the classic line of Bill Murray when Sigourney Weaver, basically manifesting all types of demons. He calls her a prehistoric female dog. How's that for being?
Yes.
That's as tactful as I get. And basically, they're listening. It's almost like this. It's almost like somebody said, if you're going to take the devil's bait, don't complain about when he goes fishing with you. And the thing is that we're talking about nonsense. I want to ask your question on this too. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I would encourage you to get Derek's book and this one too. But the great inception, the presentation he gave at Branson at the True Legends Conference was absolutely, and I'm saying this not to flatter him, but it was a wonderful, wonderful key to unlocking the ancient history. And that's why Derek started out, because the way it, that thing flowed. And by the way, you can go on my website and up in the right-hand corner, stevequayle.com, and order the True Legends Conference. Derek, all the response I've gotten, Dr. Michael Lake, your presentation, everybody's presentation, Tim Alberino's, Tom Horn's, you know, it was outstanding. But and you know this, there was a central theme from start to finish. This is where the lies started. This is how it was carried in out in history. This is carried out through history, and here's where it all ends. So, you know, I'd encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that, and I've heard from all over the world, because those DVD sets have gone out all over the world, no exaggeration, and the idea is simply this, that if you want a coherent presentation of ancient history, contemporary history, and future results, I can't recommend that any higher, and people are, even today, you know, somebody sent me, I don't know, they watched it 3 or 4 times, that's 40 hours, you know, at least, no, actually probably more than that. So, you know, congratulations on the great inception, but, you know, the earth stands still. I mean, here's another way to put it. Right now, the world's holding its breath for the cosmic savior who is to come. And do you remember, Derek, when the god Anubis, you know, the false god, little g, was paraded through the United States? And now we've got the temple of Baal, you know, and we've got Baal, Baal, some people pronounce it Baal, and, you know, we've got all these, we have the crystal skulls. I mean, it's not like, you know, and I'm sorry to say this, but when it comes to spiritual whoredom, man, the United States has turned into the greatest house of spiritual prostitution that would make the brothels of Europe blush, okay? Because in essence, we've gone from a coherent, value-driven society with, you know, common language, common history, the love of freedom. Now it's a hodgepodge, but I remember watching each place, and this is what people don't understand. Where those statues were brought into, they were consecrating the land to other gods. And that to me was one of the most striking, in-your-face, apathetic and indifferent responses to that. Because look, we're talking about ancient gods, aren't we? You're talking about a 36,000-year-old prehistoric female dog, you know? That's my term, not yours. Don't hold Derek responsible for Steve. The point is that we're talking about the same old stuff, and the same old stuff becomes today's savior. Yesterday's vanquished demonic and fallen angels will become tomorrow's leaders, and it's my contention, Derek, I'm going to turn right back to you, that it is the fallen angels who rule behind the scenes. It isn't the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, they're just puppets on right and left hand, but the fallen angels are the ones that are pulling the stream. So how can we know, in your mind, here's a, you know, I wish I would have asked you this right at the beginning, what is it going to be, what series of events or statements are going to be made that is going to say to Derek Gilbert and to Josh Peck, when these otherworldly beings will return? What do you see as maybe one or two things that you're going to go, you're going to turn to Sharon and say, yep, yep, they're here. Not that they're not already here. I'm talking to the masquerading evil ones. But what are the events, or if you will, the actions you're going to see so people can learn that, so they can pray about it and not be afraid or seduced by it?
Well, I think there are all kinds of scenarios out there in how this might happen. And the reason we chose the title of the book that we did, The Day the Earth Stands Still, is because we think that's a pretty good template for how this might happen. A craft lands either in New York in front of the United Nations, or in Washington in front of the White House, or some other place, you know, the Vatican, you know, St. Peter's Square perhaps. And an entity steps out and identifies himself, you know, we are the gods that your ancestors knew, and et cetera. So something to that effect would be a pretty good template for how something like this could happen. I think the enemy is more likely to present himself that way than, say, the Independence Day scenario, where you know, these big motherships show up and start blowing up the planet. In fact, I would say it's more likely that if the motherships show up and start destroying the Earth, that those are the extra, those are the genuine extraterrestrials. Because I think the enemy being subtle, you know, Satan described as the father of lies by Jesus himself, in other words, by God himself, is right on the money. That's why the Apostle Paul was led to warn us that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. Look at what they have to say about God and about Jesus Christ. What they have to say about Jesus Christ in particular. What they do with Jesus, what anyone does with Jesus, is key to understanding where they're coming from theologically. If, as Paul said, anyone comes preaching a different gospel, and the gospel is very, very simple. 1 Corinthians 15 lays it out. Good friends of ours, Kelly and Preston Condra, have written a book that draws on this for the title of their book, By Which We Are Saved. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. And skipping down, it's very simple. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I mean, that is pretty simple. If anyone comes preaching a different gospel from that, as Paul wrote, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be eternally cursed. If anything, regardless of how beautiful it is, shows up, whether it's in the privacy of your bedroom, there are stories. In fact, stumbled on the one at one of the British tabloids just the other day. Woman says she prefers having sex with spirits. Okay. If that
sounds a little spooky to me.
Yeah, exactly. In the literal sense.
Yes.
But, you know, regardless of where this entity appears, if it's in the privacy of your home, a one-on-one confrontation, or if it's on national television, standing in front of the United Nations, preaching a different gospel, we are here to free you from the hypocrisy of religion and the primitive beliefs in these imaginary. If this thing is saying that, regardless of how real it looks, how physical it looks, what its technology looks like, it is preaching a different gospel, let it be cursed. And, you know, hold fast to that, as the Apostle Paul wrote, hold fast to the gospel that he preached, the gospel by which we are saved. Jesus died for our sins, rose again on the third day, and it's all in accordance with the Scriptures. And remember, regardless of what happens and how real this deception looks, your status as an imager of God, your status as one created in the image of God, his moral representative on earth, his agent on earth, does not change regardless of what steps out of that craft on the White House lawn.
I'm just worried the first words out of his mouth is whoever the alien is, he's going to say, now go find my daughter, Hillary.
Well, Tom writes about that in Saboteurs. That's interesting little development.
I won't say that one. That'll get me in too much trouble. I'm trying to be kinder and gentler. So where we're at now, Derek, though, is honestly this. Now we see the attack on the Gospels. We see, the attack on Paul. I mean, there are people on talk radio saying this, but they forget to leave the important thing out. You've got a miraculous transformation of a persecutor of the Christians who absolutely has his, experience, and he is transformed, and God gives him this incredible revelation. Now people are saying, well, that's not good enough. You've got to go back under the law. You've got to, go to your Hebrew roots and stuff. Here's the deal. You know, they've got to understand that the greatest attack will come upon God's greatest gift. Number one, first and foremost, Jesus. And number two, his grace through repentance, okay, and faith in his son. I see that now being the battlefield within the time, and Tom and I have talked about this when he wrote Blood on the Altar, the time where people will kill us saying they're doing God a favor. Obviously, the Muslims believe that, but it will come even within what was once known as Christendom. I can tell you this, some of the Flat Earth guys want to, go to the OK Corral. and so the point being is that, the the trails that the devil is throwing are so, not only trails, forgive me, the evidence the devil is presenting is just false evidence appearing real, the definition of fear or whatever, somebody made that acronym up. But aren't you surprised that, you know, you deal with Whitley Strieber. I interviewed him a couple times years ago after Communion came out. And he was, and maybe still, and I haven't talked to him in years, so if somebody wants to correct me on this, but in his book he said he had always thought that aliens were aliens, but he couldn't get away from the fact that these were demons. And everybody who's a famous, and I'm talking Christian or non-Christian, they cannot get away from the fact that there is the spiritual element to aliens. There is a deception, there is a spiritual element. I don't know, have you ever personally, Derek, interviewed Whitley?
No, I have not. We did have the opportunity when we were at, Josh Peck, myself, Sharon, went down to Roswell, New Mexico for the UFO festival this past year. It was the 70th anniversary, which, again, a significant number. And we interviewed a number of people who were speaking at Guy Malone's Challenges to the Extraterrestrial Hypothesis Conference. And he had a number of Christian speakers, such as Joe Jordan himself, but also a number of agnostics who don't believe that the extraterrestrial hypothesis explains the UFO phenomenon. But when we talked to Joe, we also talked to a woman who has been featured on programs about alien abduction going back to the 90s. I remember seeing the program that she was on back in the 90s called Sightings, I think was the program. She's from our area here in the Ozarks. Her name is Joyce Ahrens. And she and her family had been subjected to what they believed were alien abductions for many years. Now, we need to make it very clear that there is a difference between the UFO phenomenon and the alien, and I'll use that word in air quotes, the abduction phenomenon. Those are two separate issues. The UFO phenomenon, many of the things that people see and call UFOs, you know, are simply misidentified objects. The planet Venus, you know, we've got the Geminid meteor shower happening tonight. You know, sometimes it's a meteor in the sky that can't be identified. Sometimes it's a secret government craft that they just don't want us to know about. There are some, as I mentioned in the last hour, that are legitimate deceptions by the enemy, things that are extra-dimensional, which is how these craft can appear to violate the laws of nature, the laws of physics, that is. But the abduction phenomenon is something completely different. This is a real phenomenon. It is really happening. People are being contacted by entities. They are being, in many cases, abused, and often in a sexual nature, by these entities. It's a very traumatic experience, and yet some people find that because they feel special, like they've been chosen for whatever is being done to them, that they don't really want the phenomenon to stop. Now, Joyce, in her case, desperately wanted to stop it, was looking for help, found Joe Jordan, if I remember the story correctly, through a newspaper article about Joe in a Florida newspaper, got in touch with him, had some conversations with him, was not really open to hearing his message, which was the gospel message, at first, but eventually in desperation, called on the name of Jesus during the next incident as it was occurring, and this entity disappeared. And this was consistent with Joe's research as a former state-level state director for the MUFON in Florida when he began looking into this research, that this is a phenomenon that is real, it is unpleasant, it speaks to the intentions of these entities, which are not good. There is no way to describe this phenomenon other than to call it evil. I mean, if these entities are truly as advanced as the contactees and abductees say they are, then surely they know they are inflicting trauma and pain upon these people who are being taken against their will, and yet they continue to do it, apparently. Again, this speaks to their intention. But as Joe found, the phenomenon can be stopped by calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And then faith, belief in Jesus Christ, is enough to get this to stop. It doesn't mean that the entities won't try and won't oppress people who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, I would suggest that if you're not being attacked at some time in your life by the enemy, it may be that you're not posing much of a threat to the enemy's plan. But setting that aside, this, I think, is an aspect of the phenomenon, the abduction phenomenon, a part of the overall UFO question that really needs to be addressed by the church, because people who are being abducted, who are being contacted by these aliens, are being lied to, they're being traumatized, and sadly, and this is one of the things I covered in the book, is that they're not getting help from the UFO community, because the UFO community sees these experiences as confirmation of what they want to believe, which is that E.T. is real, he's here, and E.T. is about, and the existence of E.T. is about to be disclosed to the benefit of mankind.
Can I ask you a question? Because you've detailed it very clearly. When you write and I write and we go back in history, whether it's Lilith the Night Hag that would change into a demoness, would change into the form of a beautiful woman, have sex, and then devour the man, you know, in an obstetric manner. The point being is that incubus and succubus, those are as old as history records, okay? It's always the sex thing, okay? And it's always the ritual magic thing. So how, and because I don't pay attention like you do to the UFO community, how do they separate the sheer terror and the human experiments that are knowingly being done on the abductees, whether it's our government's secret experiments or whatever? And by the way, people used to not believe that our government would do that until they find out all the revelations of WikiLeaks about pedophilia and the most powerful people in this country being partakers of it. How do they rationalize, or do they just not deal with it? Do they explain it away? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
Well, the reports of people who are the people who are abducted and try to report this to somebody are in a difficult situation, because there aren't many out there who believe that it's real, for the most part. If you go to the police, what are they going to tell you? Well, yeah, okay, you're off your meds again, right? Or, you know, maybe next time go a little lighter on the booze or the pills or whatever. People are, you know, when they go to their pastors aren't trained or equipped to deal with this type of story. So they turn to the UFO community, and sadly, even though this is a traumatic experience for many of the people involved in it, they are not directed to professionals who can give them psychological and emotional counseling for a traumatic experience, because again, it's confirmation of what the true believers in the UFO phenomenon want to be true. We don't want this person to get help. We want to use this person to support our case.
So you're telling me they just deny it and they don't want to deal with it because it undermines their false premise that, hi, we're here and we're here to help you, you know?
Well, but there are some researchers, Steve, who admit that this is a very dark and evil practice, such as David Jacobs and the late Bud Hopkins, didn't encourage people to get professional psychiatric and psychological counseling and help for the trauma that they were experiencing, because again, it helped support or substantiate their narrative that ETs are real and they're here with evil intent. Well, the problem is they're not extraterrestrial, they are extra-dimensional, they are
correct
spiritual entities, and we're not helping people by simply drawing out their stories so that we can write them down and then use them to sell books, okay? These are people who need help, not people who need to be quoted as source material for the next book or to have their stories turned into a movie treatment, okay? There's a really good book I would recommend, because this gentleman has done a lot more research on it than I have. I summarize a couple of his conclusions. A fellow named Jack Brewer, who I met in Roswell, didn't have enough of a chance to talk to him. I hope to do that more in the year ahead, who's got a book out there called The Grays Have Been Framed. And he goes deep into the misuses and abuses of abductees by the UFO community over the past 70 years. people who needed help who weren't helped because they were more useful to certain people in the UFO community as source material for books and movie deals. And it's tragic because, again, the guys who are involved in this are selling a narrative, even though they believe it's evil, they are selling a narrative that is wrong. And again, the people who are the victims of this abuse aren't being helped. And that is one of the points we wanted to make in the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still. The very fact that people are being traumatized speaks to the motives and the nature of the entities involved, whether they're, and again, we believe that we're dealing with fallen angels and their demonic minions.
I agree with that. Listen to this. I didn't know this. This just came in from Amanda in Canada. She said, I just thought I would bring your attention to the new Marvel TV show called, and I don't know this, Marvel's Runaways, for the simple reason that there's a church in the show called the Gibborim, and it reveals
right.
the sacrifice of humans for some sort of resurrection or continuation. In other words, what, an alien vampirism? They can only feast on human flesh to be able to prolong their own. And that brings us into the whole, if you will, vampirism. Are you familiar with that, Marvel's Runaways?
Yeah, Sharon and I talked about this on our most recent podcast this past weekend, PID Radio. We haven't watched it yet. We intend to. But yeah, it just came to our attention within the last week, too.
Where can people see that? Is it on Skywatch TV?
PIDradio.com is where we've got the podcast. It's audio only. We need to do something like this on video on Skywatch TV. In fact, we've been talking for a year now. We do still have enough hours in the day, but we need a program like this to warn people about how this idea is being sold to our kids and grandkids through television, through video games, through
right, and you know, you and I had talked in the past. I think it's critical. Japan, and pun intended, has taken that country by storm. Is a Attack on Titan?
Yeah,
about the giants.
Now that I've actually watched.
Yep, and I have too, but what's interesting, most people don't know this, that it's such a big deal. I think at the Tokyo Universal Studios, they actually have a place where you can walk in a giant's mouth who's salivating. I think you walk through its mouth into its stomach. Lovely, huh? And then,
yeah.
Derek, you saw that first restaurant. Boy, when I put that link up on my site, now this is critical, because the lust for human flesh, cannibalism, okay, we're not going to go there, but in effect, you're talking about intergalactic cannibals when they need human, and look what it is. It's always the extraction of sperm from the male, ovum from the women. There's always a hibernation or a, if you will, an experiment going on. And, you know, I know I've talked to traumatized people. These people aren't making it up. They're not sitting around going, you know, two steps over the line. I mean, they are absolutely being able, and they're not dealing with past regression or regression hypnosis. And so when you see this, it's like a form of mental cannibalism, but it's also physical. Like the restaurant in Japan, I guess they're buying people that they sell their bodies ahead of time, and then you get to eat Uncle Joe. You get to take Uncle Joe, who passed away, out to lunch. That when I put that up on my website, the servers crashed. Fortunately, I think it was Stephen Stanford that got that off of archive. But it was a real story. People say, ah, that was just pulling your leg. In this case, it was a real story. So then we get the story about robots. And when you're dealing with chaos, Greek mythology, you're dealing with Talos, you know, the first robot who lives on kind of like, if you will, a green blood called Iker. And now you've got, you know, modern robots being stating that, well, gee, the battlefield's filled with energy. They just scoop them up, you know, and instead of burying the war dead, you just eat them up, chew them up, and drive your next set of tank wheels to the next encounter, you know. The idea that these entities are benevolent is just astonishing to me. And someone says, well, you have a pre-position bias that you think they're all evil. Well, I'll tell you what, from dealing with all the people I've dealt with, from interviewing everybody I've interviewed with, from literally watching people who are truly demon-possessed, having the strength as a little girl of, you know, 5-6 men who are like football players, literal statement, that's true, and yet, you know, there's this denial. It's, here's what I'm trying to say, and this is my question, I'll shut up, let you answer. There's a denial of God's supernatural ability, but there's an open embrace and longing for the devil's supernatural. Does that not seem like a dichotomy that sometimes is just makes you just shake your head and go, wow?
Well, yeah, but again, it goes back to the research that I stumbled onto that secular scholars have been aware of for at least 40 years, going back in to this ritual called the Liturgy of the Shades, which was the necromancy ritual for one of the last Amorite kings of the kingdom of Ugarit, which is in, you know, today it's in Syria, it's on the Mediterranean coast. They were literally summoning the spirits of the Rephaim, and
right.
the spirits of something called the Council of the Datanu, which a scholar another secular scholar documented the etymology of that word. Oh yeah, that's the root of the word from which the Greeks got their name for their gods, the Titans. They were summoning the spirits, the Council of
right.
the Titans, to bless and empower their king. So this has been going on for a very, very long time. And before time gets away and I forget, because Tom Horn will yell at me if I don't mention this, and circling back to the conversation with the abductee, Joyce Ahrens, Skywatch TV Store has the book The Day the Earth Stands Still as part of a package that includes a number of items, over $300 worth of stuff altogether, skywatchtvstore.com. But it includes, as part of this package, and I think one of the most important parts of the package, is the 5-DVD set of interviews with experts in the field, and one of those, and including a couple of people who are themselves abductees or contactees, Guy Malone for one, but Joyce Ahrens happened to be there, and she graciously agreed to take part in the interviews that we were conducting in Roswell this past summer. This is an interview that's never been broadcast anywhere, and she revealed things that she says she had never disclosed in any interview before. And when you see her story and see the just her breakdown in tears at the memory of these things that occurred to her before she was freed through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will be convinced that this is a real phenomenon. And people like Joyce, who don't know Jesus Christ, because the church isn't prepared to help them, it will break your heart. Guy Malone is another who speaks to this. Daryl Sims is one who is a former abductee turned private investigator who turns the tables on these entities. His story, that was one of the most jaw-dropping interviews I've ever been a part of in over, oh gosh, I counted the other day, as something like over 1,200 interviews I've done over the course of my broadcasting career. Tom Horn, Paul McGuire, George Jordan, Stan Dale, many other people as part of this the 5-DVD set. None of these interviews ever broadcast before as part of the package, and you'll find this at the Skywatch TV store, along with our book, Josh Peck's latest collection called Unraveling the Multiverse, and then audio interviews featuring Tom Horn on this topic. Again, you know, when Tom Horn puts together a package deal for a book, he gives away the store, and the ladies back there in the warehouse are cursing his name. Not really. It's
when Tom puts a deal together, he's going to give away
a free RV with the next book offer. But still,
well, yeah,
SkywatchTVStore.com.
Yeah, he's going to have to give you a trailer because he's given so many books away. I mean, you know, and this is critical because we talked about, you know, we have to get the young people. My definition of young people, I hope this fits, but my definition of young people that really have got to get trained in this stuff, Derek, they've got to read what you write, Tom writes, I write, others write, you know. I know Dr. Michael Lake has got his, his whole package, but they need to get this stuff because, look, it's almost like there's a historic precedent for a generation that grows up that forgets not God, but the grandchildren of that generation, you know, or the one that's coming. In other words, the young people, not the millennials, but the next group are the ones we've got to win for Jesus. Because
Amen.
Outside of a miracle of God, you know, I would say this, the Marxist children at large are are not beyond redemption, but they've chosen the sandbox instead of the library, and so we've got to get these books out to kids, and that's one of the best things. Now, parents, I posted a story, You Cannot Stand Against Evil of the Globalists and Turn Your Kids Over to Public Education. That is the most dichotomous and ridiculous thing that you could do. You know, you can't believe the Bible says that, you know, you're the salt of the earth, and then let the heritage of the Lord go to hell because you're turning them into a bunch of basically people that hate God. And, Derek, yeah. This is why I want to thank you. The Great Inception, a great book, Earth Stand Still. I have a copy. You gave me a copy. It's just like everything else. You've got to get to it. But I think, you know, let me give you the closing 10 minutes. Close it out the way you want. And I want to thank you for coming on. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get The Great Inception, The Earth Stand Still, and also the 10 DVD series. Look, this isn't just a pitch to sell 10 DVDs. I don't believe, and I think, Derek, you were there, and everybody, Doug, you were there, and those people that are listening were there. They've never been to a conference that had such a central theme that was consistent and that the presence of God was at, and I think that's a fair statement.
No, absolutely. It was an honor to be a part of that, Steve, and it was an experience that I will count as a treasured memory for the rest of my life. I mean, being able to open that conference was a real honor, and I felt, and Timothy Alberino said this too, when we began to speak, we just felt that there was a helper that was an unseen helper that was kind of guiding where we were going with our talks and our presentation, and I think the people who were there felt that as well. We talked over the last couple of hours about where, you know, what is behind the UFO phenomenon and why we as Christians are dealing with it. And I think there are a few key points. Number one is the denial of the existence of God. If the enemy can convince us that we are simply the product of a genetic experiment conducted by highly advanced extraterrestrials thousands of years ago who are now returning to help us step up to the next level of evolution, then we will accept this false gospel, these false saviors with open arms. And they've accomplished half the goal, because most Americans, again, only 10% of America has a biblical worldview, has a true understanding of biblical Christianity. Sadly, among evangelical Christians, people who claim to be born again, and this is according to Barna Group research, I'm not pulling these numbers out of the air, the number is still less than 20%. Still less than 20%. People who call themselves born again truly don't understand the gospel by which we are saved. They think that, we can spend 2 hours just on that topic alone and why that's true. But because they've already gotten us to reject the idea of a creator God who loves us, who walked among us, became human flesh, sacrificed himself for us, died for our sins, and rose again on the third day, then the idea that of an alternate Savior is now in play. And that is being sold to us through various channels, whether it's through the transhumanist movement, which is something that is going to be, I think, big on the agenda for Skywatch TV for 2018, or through the UFO phenomenon, through the existence of ancient aliens, the return of the old gods. We are the gods who created you thousands of years ago through our, you know, superior technology, and now you have advanced to a point where we can share this with you and make you one of our community. That is a lie from the pit of hell, but it's being sold to us through so-called non-fiction programs on cable channels. It's being sold to our kids and our grandkids through video games, through television programs like this new program from Marvel Comics, through the superhero movies that are so popular in theaters over the last 5 or 10 years. Comic books have been selling this idea since I was a kid, you know, for 50 years and more, that the gods who walk among us wear spandex, and that we can be like them if we simply figure out how we can how to hack into our DNA. There is a movement afoot out there of biohackers, amateurs who are literally trying to transform their own genetic code so that they too can be as gods. It's the same old lie. AI just wrapped up in a different package. That's why we're addressing this. In the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, we deconstruct some of the stories, some of the most famous stories. Just do it briefly because this was not intended to be a thorough examination of the Roswell incident or the Maury Island incident or Kecksburg or Rendlesham Forest. Those have been examined to death over the last 70 years. When you get right down to it, the Mac Daddy of the UFO phenomenon is supposed to be the Roswell incident. And to this day, 70 years later, there is still no hard physical evidence that it was a legitimate extraterrestrial that landed in the desert near Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. We talk about and show in the book how the intelligence community of the United States, and presumably of other nations as well, but specifically in the U.S., has been involved in the UFO phenomenon for the last 70 years. And so a critical thinker should say, well, gee, if the intelligence community is trying to sell this lie and has been for 70 years, how do we know that any of it is real? And to what end are they selling us this story? It may simply be that there are things they don't want the Russians to know. There may be a darker purpose behind it. The question is, what does it look like when we analyze this through a biblical lens? It looks to us, when you separate the UFO phenomenon and the intelligence community's misdirection plays from the abduction phenomenon, and look at what messages are being sold to contactees and abductees, which are consistently anti-Christian. The reports of the abductees and their experiences on board these alien craft, consistently traumatic and undeniably evil. I think we have to look at the extra-dimensional hypothesis as being a more likely explanation, and the intentions of these entities, based on their messages and the way they interact with contactees and abductees, is evil. That is the message that we need to present to the world. We have an answer for the UFO phenomenon. We as Christians, following the God who spoke the universe into existence, have a worldview that is big enough to accommodate this, to address this, and any other question that the world wants to throw at us, whether it's hidden history, alternate archaeology, or, you know, the modern UFO phenomenon. We as Christians have the answers. It's in the book. They are in the book, if we just care to open it and look.
Man, fantastic. Steve, you've outdone yourself. And Derek Gilbert, you've outdone yourself. You guys, man, hit it out of the park. It was such an important topic to discuss, and so relevant and so timely. And Steve, I want to thank you for taking care of the.
Well, thank you. It's a delight, and I get to interview Derek. It's kind of, I get to be on the other side of the microphone. But ladies and gentlemen, The Day the Earth Stands Still, very, very critical, and you must get The Great Inception. In my opinion, and obviously Derek's my friend, but in my opinion, that's probably one of the seminal works in history to deal with that period of time and how it gets to where, and look, I've read a lot of stuff, and I've researched a lot more stuff, but, you know, Derek had the hand of the Lord on him, as all those speakers did. And I got to tell you, Doug, thank you for making Hagman & Hagman such a viable and important part of training up the people of God for the most dangerous but the most outstanding and exciting period in history.
Well said, and thank you for bringing the truth and information to the forefront. Gentlemen, thank you both. May God bless both of you and keep you safe. And again, our thanks for you being on. All right.
God bless you. My honor. Thank you.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for us. What a fantastic program. Enough said, right?
Yeah.
That's all that needs to be said. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock, Doug Hagman Radio Show. And
2 o'clock, the Hagman Daily Show.
And then join us back here for our flagship show at 7 o'clock, Global Star Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube Live. Got a great show for you lined up for the flagship show tomorrow night. God bless.